mumble rappers and all this other Cardi B trash. Yeah, I said it. I'm back, bitches.
God damn it. Welcome to the Beautiful Trainwreck, the show where keeping it real gets mildly offensive and awkwardly amusing.
Oh, God.
I'm Julian.
I'm dying. I'm Sarah.
And.
Wow.
Yeah. So we want to welcome ourselves back.
Yes.
We won't wait for you guys to do it. We're going to welcome ourselves back and tell you that we are so happy to be back with
you. We really are.
And it's been such a long time for some of you guys who are axing.
Yes.
Relax, Mom. I know how to say it. We've been around. We just haven't been recording. Obviously, there was this whole pandemic. I don't know if you heard about this, Sarah. There's like a pandemic that's been going on.
No. What and, has that like affected lives and everything?
Maybe a couple.
A few. Yeah.
So we haven't had a chance to get together as we would have intended. And we want to share a lot of what we've been doing. Well, maybe not a lot. We're going to share that. Our intention was to come back probably like a prior week. Mm-hmm. But as you're listening to this, the week before, it was just really eventful. And so we felt the need to actually break the mold and come back together.
Yes.
Actually sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
In a chair.
Mm-hmm.
In front of microphones.
Yes.
With basketball on.
Dude, it's almost like we never left.
In the studio.
That came back up.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we'll get into a little bit of what we've been doing. But before we do that, we want to let you guys know that there's social media involved.
There is.
We have social media accounts. And
sometimes we use them.
Yeah, sometimes, you know? Like when we're liking stuff.
Yeah.
So where are we at?
Well, you can follow us on Instagram at the BTW Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at the _ BTW Podcast. You can find us on Facebook.com/TheBeautifulTrainwreck.
Yeah.
Did I miss anything?
Probably, but I don't. Oh, shit, I don't know.
Who knows at this point? I feel like I've actually, this pandemic has connected me a little bit more to Twitter. I don't know why, but it just kind of has.
Yeah.
I've been on Twitter a little bit more than I have in the past few years.
Yeah. Well, probably because a lot of us have a lot more time on our hands.
Yeah.
You know, some of us tend to, you know, just start families and stuff.
I mean, whatevs, you know, start creating lives and everything.
Yeah, but
it's crazy how that happens.
That's a story for another day. But
yeah.
But this week, we do want to get into it. We want to get into talking about some important things that have been happening over this past week.
Yeah.
And we'll also get into the platforms that you can listen to us to. All your favorite podcasting platforms.
Yes.
Google Podcasts, mm-hmm. Apple Podcasts, which used to be named iTunes.
Right.
We are on Spotify.
iHeartRadio, Anchor. And Spreaker?
Not anymore. I had to cancel that account. The baby fund.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, but I mean, either way, there's a plethora of opportunities, modalities, if you will, to listen to us. So it'd be great. You know, check us out if this is your first time listening. Thanks, friends.
Yeah.
And if this is your 50-11th time listening to us, hey, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
I think one thing that's been a theme for me every single time, you know, someone has asked me, Sarah, are you happy to be back, or how are you feeling, or like, how is everything? I pull like a remix of Marshawn and say, just happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
Like all my spin class playlists have been called just happy to be here. And then it's just happy to be here. One, just happy to be here. Two.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yo, that's, and that really is it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a lot of losses, some of which we'll get into throughout this pandemic, whether they're caused by the treacherous COVID-19 or not, but a lot of notable losses.
Yeah.
And so we'll get into it.
But yeah. I mean, I just feel like a lot of people have dealt with some sort of loss, you know, and either way, it's a matter of adjustment. And, you know, we spoke about it last week as well when we were together virtually.
Yes.
But that when things kind of started shifting in the past week, I reached out to Jay and I was like, yo, I feel like we gotta sit down behind the mic and talk about this.
Yeah,
and
most definitely.
He hit me with a hard agree, you know, so.
Has to happen, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about having this platform is that we have the opportunity to discuss and share things with each other and share things with you, our listeners. And hopefully, you know, the crazy thing is, I guess that's not so educational, but whatever. Jay and I feel the same way about a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I even challenge myself to do, and I'm going to continue to do it, is reach out to people who do not feel the same way that I do.
Yes.
And, and you, sir, my co-host, are a big inspiration to that, because the patience that this man has, you guys, is absolutely insane. His just overall ability to discuss stuff with other humans is incredible. I tend to not have the bandwidth to do that, but I feel as if we're going to see any type of change, we're going to have to reach across the aisle somehow and connect. There it is. With people who don't see eye to eye, you know? And so that's one thing I'm going to try to do and challenge myself. It's insanely hard to do that, because the things that I feel so strongly about in my brain, the way I process it, is just like, this is like, it's just straight logic. I don't understand how you guys could see any other way. You know what I mean? And that, if you kind of really dissect it, sounds borderline ignorant.
Ignorant.
Yeah. But that's one thing that I'm trying to, not necessarily change, I guess it is change, but, you know, grow throughout all of this. And, you know, like I said, we talked about it last week, this whole pandemic, and we even talked about it like two, or whenever we actually did that Zoom, the initial Zoom.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, how much I have hated this pandemic, but also have been able, it has changed my perspective on so many things.
Yeah.
So that in itself has allowed me to put my brain in this position. Like I said, not being able to see you physically, you know, how much I took for granted.
Yeah.
So I just went off on a tangent, no, sine, cosine. Okay. But yeah, I don't know where I was going with that, but I'm here.
And first of all, it's wonderful to be here.
Yeah.
Once again.
Let's gingerly touch our tips.
Yes. Oh yeah, I forgot. Mm-hmm. I was about to just put it down. Mm. I'm drinking for two, y'all. So, but just harping on what you're saying. Well, first of all, I appreciate the kind words, and, you know, in terms of my patience.
I mean, it's a truth, yo.
Yeah, it's not always the easiest to have patience, but it really does come, for at least for me, it comes from a genuine desire to want to understand other people's point of views, and may not agree with them. And believe it or not, I've always believed, well, not always, you know, shit, but for a long time, I've really believed that it is okay to leave a conversation just not agreeing with the person.
Yeah.
Like, not all conversations, the purpose isn't to be like, oh, yeah, you know what? I get it now. Let's just be friends
now. Right.
You can be friends and not agree with that person.
Yeah.
It's completely fine.
I think that's one thing that what you just said is what I believe to be a massive problem with the world.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And it's so crazy because I feel like us as Americans rest on this whole all or nothing principle. You know, you're either 100% with me or you're 100% against me.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that to the extent, especially with some of these issues that are occurring, strike such emotional chords with people, understandably so, that when someone doesn't agree with you on it, you're like, yo, how can you not understand where I'm coming from about this? You know, and I do that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've done that with my family a lot. I do that when I speak to people. It's weird because a lot of it, I don't know, the way I label it is, you know, passion, you know, just strong beliefs. But like, I get where there needs to be some kind of middle ground.
Yeah.
IMO, mm-hmm. You know, and that's one thing that this world is so desperately like struggling to find.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the sooner we find it, I think the sooner we just learn how to be better humans, honestly.
And you know, like, this pandemic has forced me to learn so much about myself.
Yeah.
In ways that I wasn't ready for.
Mm.
You know, and it forced me to do it.
Right.
So it's one of those things where, like, I have to, now I feel as if I have the responsibility to mature up and be like, all right, I have to step up to this plate, because if I don't step up now during a pandemic with all these murders occurring to Black people, to Black men, to Black women, like, when am I going to do it? You know?
Yeah.
So I think we can get deeper into it as well. It's just now it's a responsibility.
Yeah.
I would feel massively irresponsible if I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one thing that's kind of helped, you know, and because I've had the option of running away from a whole bunch of things that have made me look internally, like in, you know, introspect and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
So if I'm going to take anything away from this here pandemic from a positive aspect, it's going to be that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the question a lot of us ask, I'm going to say it correctly now, the question that a lot of us ask ourselves is, are we better after this pandemic than we entered it?
Right.
And if the answer is no, you know, well, obviously the pandemic's not over, but if the answer is no, then I mean, I think that's a testament to the fact that we really need to be doing some more work within ourselves.
Right.
Like, what is it that you've learned about yourself? What is it that you've learned about the world? What have you seen that you agree with, that you disagree with?
Right.
You know, any book, any podcast, any documentary, any show, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is that you consume and intake, has it made you a better person? If so, why? If not, why?
And I think, too, like I reiterated this, or I, you know, talked about it on a previous recording last week. My mindset walking back into work now. And you and I have had multiple upon multiple conversations about this.
Mm-hmm.
It's so massively different.
Yeah.
And it boggles my brain, because in a short 90 days, it was literally 90 days.
Oh, wow. 90 Day Fiancé?
Yeah. You're familiar. It's just crazy how quickly change can happen. But in the same light, you know, in the same black light. I mean, here we are. When was first march on Washington? 1963.
Okay.
So how much has changed in 90 days, you know, with a quick change of an attitude, a quick change of perspective, versus how much hasn't changed since Martin Luther King gave his speech in 1963. But yeah, so it's it's all very interesting stuff. Provocative, for sure.
Very interesting. You know, speaking to the different scope in which you look at things, I think of the example that you gave when we actually met up for brunch a couple of weeks ago in an establishment that we frequent.
Yes.
And, you know, we were just kind of sitting there, and we could overhear the bartender / server kind of complaining about serving somebody like outside.
Right.
And you were just like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I couldn't.
Yeah.
And I empathize to the extent, like, you know, you've worked in customer service like eons ago. Toys R Us is still alive, right?
In Canada.
Right. Okay. Well, you know, and I was a server too, but it's just like knowing what I know now, feeling how I feel about things, like having the opportunity to step back and go into work. There's no room for that. You know, yes, it sucks. And I had the opportunity, wonderful opportunity about speaking about something like this with Santi, who's also in the industry.
Right?
Yeah. You know, and he's like, it drives him up the wall. Well, I don't want to speak for him, but like when you have these people that are completely negating what is happening in the world and still coming and treat their servers like trash.
Right.
Get where she's coming from, but I was just like, dude, I handle that a different way.
Just got to be, a bigger person.
Yeah.
And, you know, what did Michelle Obama say? Like, when they go low, we go high.
Yeah.
I don't want to botch that. I should probably get that.
I'm pretty sure but that was the premise behind it.
Yes.
You know, I don't know her struggle. I don't know what was going on in her life at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't completely criticize her. But when I heard it, I was like, I shouldn't be able to hear this.
Right. But what you do know is that, like, 2 or 3 months prior, them doors were closed.
Right. So,
again,
I get your frustration, but at the same time, dude, like, let's. Yeah. But anyway, so are we, as you guys say, now let's get into it? We're gonna, that's not copyrighted, right? Not by you guys, at least. Well, I might be stealing from someone else.
Yeah. Well, it's not quite the Let's Get Ready to Rumble, but you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think definitely along the spirit of our show and how sports tie into what's going on socially, the NBA boycotted. I mean, there's no really other way to... other way to put it, and there's a reason that the NBA boycotted. Now, mind you, this is the playoffs, and the stakes are higher than ever.
Yes.
But shit, in this country, the stakes are higher than ever, right?
Right.
So let's really talk about the reason for the boycott.
Well, okay, I guess, do we have to set the scene as to what actually happened for those of you, for our listeners who do not know?
Absolutely. That's, yeah.
Okay, so Jacob Blake was shot 7 times in the back.
What?
Weird, right? That was
It was August. By a black guy, right?
Obviously.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, black on black violence.
In Kenosha, Wisconsin,
yep.
On August 20th, 2020.
Yeah.
In response to a disturbance that the way it was presented, the way I read it, he was breaking up a fight between two women. And upon the police officer arriving, he was walking back to his car. And was shot 7 times in the back.
Yes. And there is video of this.
Correct.
So
there's two. There's two perspectives.
I don't think I've seen the second one.
Yeah.
But just in case you don't want to take our word for it, and just in case you don't want to believe that this is possible.
Now, again, I'm going to present as much as I know. He has a history. He has a criminal history from what I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm saying this not in a way to defend what did or did not happen. Or the fact that he was shot 7 times in the back. I'm presenting this so we know as much as we can possibly know. Okay? And I feel kind of irresponsible speaking about it because I do not know everything about it. So he was shot in the back 7 times, Kenosha, Wisconsin. And then there were rumblings in the NBA, in the bubble, stating that they were going to boycott. When I heard it, that... It was the Celtics and Raptors that were first discussing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, rumblings continued to build. And then from what I understand, the Detroit Lions were the first ones to sit out a practice, to stop practice. And
I did not hear that.
Yeah. And discuss or to acknowledge what had happened. Now, leading up to the Orlando Magic Milwaukee Bucks game, the Milwaukee Bucks, that are also in Wisconsin.
Right, an hour away from Kenosha.
They were the first ones. They did not step out onto the court at all prior to their game. And then from there started a massive ripple effect that they did not play their game. And every single NBA playoff game after that did not occur. So that was Wednesday?
I don't recall.
It's a pandemic, man. I don't know what day is what.
Yeah.
Tuesday or Wednesday. Today was the first day that they actually played.
Right.
Today. So they didn't play Friday. Yesterday was Friday. Mm-hmm. They did not play Thursday. So it was Wednesday.
Right.
That they did not play.
Right.
So they did not play. The entire slate of games did not play. 5 MLS teams did not play. WNBA games also boycotted.
So they didn't play. Right.
WNBA games did not play. Mm-hmm. Certain teams in the MLB did not play. The Milwaukee Brewers did not play the Cincinnati Reds in Milwaukee that same day, which was Wednesday.
Yeah.
Naomi Osaka did not play her tennis match. So it started this massive ripple effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the scene, you guys. All because they are protesting how Jacob Blake was shot 7 times in the back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In front of his 3 children.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, regardless of what you do or do not believe, that is the cliff notes of the scene. Now, again, because of how media and how facts, stories unravel and how information is able to be, I guess, perceived or taken in, there's a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of, I'm sure, of intricacies that we do not know.
Right. And protocols that, you know,
right, we're exactly
not privy to, yeah.
So, but the fact of the matter is, this man was shot in the back. Yeah. I am not a black man or woman. I have pigment to my skin. But again, a lot of my pigment comes with a lot of privilege. I am not going to speak about how it makes black people feel because it's not my place to say. But what I am going to say is one thing that is just so exhausting to me is one, obviously, why does this keep happening?
Mm-hmm.
And two, the next night in response, you have a 17-year-old, by definition, child,
mm-hmm.
whose mother drove him down? Is that what I understand?
From Illinois, yep.
Yeah. And then with an assault rifle, murders two people.
Yeah.
And then just strolls by the police with absolutely zero repercussions and is still standing upright. His lungs still draw air.
Yeah, to this day.
So I'm trying to say this. One of my big goals is to try and speak upon things that are so, for me, emotionally tied. Try to speak upon it in a level-headed way so I can perceive other people's opinions and facts or, you know, whatever it may be. So I can be receptive. It's the fact that there is such a glaring discrepancy with how white people are treated by police and how black people are treated by police. And the lack of accountability. And the amount of excuses. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. The amount of reasons people are giving these humans.
Yeah.
That's what drives me up the wall. So I don't know if I said that articulately or not. I don't know if anything I said just makes sense. But for me, I can't.
Right.
But again, I'm going to acknowledge my privilege and say that like I can disconnect from it to an extent, yeah. You know, and selfishly I have. But I say this with as much empathy as I can possibly have. What in the actual fuck, you guys? So that's all I have to say about that for Right Meow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to tackle here, especially by the fact that it happened in general.
Yeah.
And once again, just to your point about we don't know the intricacies. I mean, none of us were there.
Mm-hmm.
But from the video that I've seen, and they're talking about, oh, well, you know, well, like the police union are speaking out, and they made a, I don't know if it was an official statement, but a representative right. from the police union in Kenosha talked about, oh, yeah, well, you know, there was a knife or whatever. But does it really take multiple use of lethal force
right.
to stop somebody from, if they did have a knife, getting that knife?
Right.
It wasn't just like a murder attempt. It was an execution attempt.
Yes.
There is no possible way that the man could have defended himself from right. lethal force.
Right.
It's just not possible.
Yep.
How many times do you need to shoot somebody for them to not be a threat?
Well, and that also too, I believe, is a massive talking point, is this shoot to kill
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
mentality.
At least give him a fucking chance. Like let him turn right. around if you're going to shoot him.
And again, guys, I almost hate myself for saying these words. Uh-oh. So please do not. It's a matter of like, I don't know what the fuck I would do in that situation.
If you were who?
If I was the cop.
Right. And that's why you're not a cop.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. That's exactly the fuck why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I'm not. Because that's the thing I feel like. Well, what would you do? Bitch, I don't know. That's why I'm not. That's why I don't do it.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and. Mm. I don't know. Maybe I'm taking... Oh, God. This is what it makes me feel. It's just... Where does it stop? Where does it absolutely stop? And
yeah.
people keep saying, oh, but looting doesn't solve anything either. It's like, hold on. Protesting doesn't equate to looting. Why does arrest equate to murder?
It's a whole lot to take in. That's what she said.
A.
One of the things, a lot of the things that I think about are just people wanting to add like qualifiers to it. It's like, oh, well, you know, but he's alive. Yeah. Those like, bitch.
Yeah, right, right. He's paralyzed, can't feel shit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, like you said earlier. Oh, you know, he's got a criminal record. It's like, yeah, but is his criminal record, does that like mean that he needs to get shot seven right. times? Or once?
Exactly. I feel like, and that's where people start, in my opinion, start nitpicking. It's the fact that what I'm going to, on a case like this, and, you know, let's reiterate one more time, one more again, we do not know the absolute intricacies of everything that happened. But the fact of the matter is, a black man was shot 7 times in the back, mm-hmm. whilst the very next day, a kid with an assault rifle, a white kid with an assault rifle, walked down the streets past police while people were screaming that he just murdered 2 people.
Yep. Yep. And they just drove right past him. And he had his like hands in the air as a like, take me.
Yeah.
And I think I think in the video I saw, I think he like approached the police car and they just like, nah, you're good.
Yeah. So that for me, if I'm taking this for its absolute value, that's what makes my ears bleed.
Mm, yeah.
And that's what, for me, that's why I protest. Tamir Rice was how old?
What, 12, 13, something like that?
Yeah. Trayvon Martin was how old?
Maybe 16, 17. I think maybe 15 or 16.
For behavior that they were...
Suspicious behavior.
Yeah. Again, it's like you said, oh, well, you know, Jacob Blake is still alive. It's like, okay, cool.
Right.
Fine.
But what is that telling literally everybody who, you know...
Does that make you feel better?
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah, it's a feel-good story, I guess. He beat the odds.
He beat the odds. Okay, great.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just trying to make him a better person by shooting him in the back 7 times.
Yeah,
you know?
It builds character. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, look at 50 Cent. He's still with us.
Oh, my God.
yeah. So.
It's things of that nature. And so that's one thing. That's a big reason why, like, when this started happening, Jay and I looked at each other, well, virtually.
Yeah.
And we're like, yo, we got to talk about this. And,
mobilize.
Yeah. And the fact that the NBA, well, also, and I think you'll agree with me as well, shout out to the WNBA. Mm-hmm. Because the WNBA has been with the movement since day one.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people, you know, kept always say, oh, I don't want my athletes, politics and sports, blah, blah, blah. But again, when you have these men and women who are seeing themselves in these black people being murdered. And especially when you see like, oh, well, you know, that's why they're paid billions of dollars and blah, 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 blah. But this happens to them too.
Yep. Absolutely.
Thapocephalosia.
Yep.
Sterling Brown.
Yeah.
Not Sterling K.
Not Sterling K. Brown.
But Sterling Brown, you mm-hmm. know, like they were, and even, and of course I can't remember his name, the president of the Raptors.
Oh, yeah. I know him.
Was openly shoved during
a game.
Yeah. So, again, everyone's like, you want to make this about race? Oh, you want to make this about race? For me, it's irresponsible of us if we do not recognize the mm-hmm. correlation between the two.
Right.
It might not be outright, but if we, you know, really take a look at it, like, we have to hold each other accountable.
100%.
So to see these players, you know, and you have people like Natasha Cloud. He's like, I'm not playing. I'm going to forego the WNBA season, 2020 season. I'm going to do work for social change. I understand that this means I'm going to, you know, not get my salary for the season.
You're 56K.
Yeah. 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 You know, so
not the modem, but the
right.
not the internet speed.
So, like, that's, for me, like, and for these players to finally be like, all right, we're going to take a loss here. Now, I don't know what exactly how it translated as far as the Players Association goes, but I was hella proud of them.
I mean, it would seem to me like that population have been the most, if not exploited, but the most like disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. Like not only are you women, and there's nothing wrong with anything I'm saying here, but not only are you women, but there's a pretty decent sized population who identifies with the LGBTQ plus community.
Yep.
You get paid shit.
Yep.
Like literally shit.
So much so that even after you win a WNBA championship, you have to hop on a plane the next day to go play overseas to supplement your yearly income, and therefore cannot actually have a victory parade, which is why the Mystics didn't have a victory parade, because I believe Emma Mieseman was like, yo, my flight's out, so
yeah,
see y'all later.
Listen, yeah, I gotta go.
Yeah.
Season starts in,
yep,
18 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you talk about grind. I mean, that's a grind right there. And so, yeah, they get it. And then you have, God, I keep forgetting, who was it for, I don't know if it was Minnesota or Connecticut, who like sat out the entire season to get justice for.
It was Maya Moore.
Maya Moore, yep.
Minnesota.
Yep, Minnesota.
Yeah. And like these people are actually making efforts and dedicating their platform.
Right.
And for people who say, oh, I want my sports to be about sports, I understand where you're coming from, because I said that too years ago. There not is. To T-W-O, but I as well said that years ago. Mm-hmm. Because for me, sports very much so is a release, is therapy, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's a way, if you want to even take it there, of escapism.
Oh, right? Definitely.
100%. So I did not want to correlate my sports with real life. But also I need to recognize that's my privilege. I get to do that, yeah. You know? And so when people say don't politicize sports, then that's, to me, your privilege is showing.
Here's a take on that, is that if there is so much money generated by this sport, there it's almost impossible for it to not be politicized.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And again, if the way I interpret it is, if you're going to say, oh, shut up and dribble, it's like, what do I pay you for? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah. Right, I pay, yeah.
It just makes me upset, because it's like, now you're literally dehumanizing these people and treating them as pawns.
Yeah.
Dance for me, you know?
Exactly.
Sing a song, do a dance, entertain me.
Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, and that's what people feel like, that's your job or whatever. That's your job. It's kind of like, you know, people getting upset. I mean, I know this probably happens across sports, but the example that I'm thinking of right now really draws from experiences that you hear over and over again in the pro wrestling industry, is like, you know, a lot of what they do is doing events like, to where you have access to the performers and everything.
Right.
And like autograph signings and stuff.
Right. Like appearances.
Right, appearances. So yeah. You go there, like you sign an autograph, people get upset because maybe you didn't want to sign something or what, you know, taking pictures with each other. And I don't know if you saw this, I actually meant to send this to you, but like, especially with the female performers.
Yeah.
Yo, these creepers, we'll call them.
Yep.
You know, want to take like little like prom photos with them. And you could tell in like the performer's eyes, they're just like, yeah. Yo.
Yeah.
You know, but that's in a lot of ways what they're expected to do.
Yep.
And then when they say something about it, it's like, fuck you, bitch.
Yeah.
What the fuck do I pay you for? And yep. I'm just like, yo, man, these people are human before anything, dude. Yep. And, you know, it's like they got a mother and father. They got lives outside of this. And they're on the road like 250 to 300 days a year.
Yep.
Just to entertain you.
Yep.
In any event, sorry, Mom, I was cursing all loud in the house.
Well, and that's, all right, y'all, get ready. I'm about to give credit to a Duke alumni.
Oh, no, don't do it.
I'm going to do it.
Don't do it.
Shout out to Kyrie. Because he was like, nah, like, this is why we shouldn't play. Because there's so much other bigger things happening in the world right now. Right, meow. Like, we need to be focusing on other things. So, I'm acknowledging and respecting where he's coming from with that. And, again, that's where I think the fact that you see these people yelling at the basketball players, like, oh, what do I pay you for? It's like, yeah, but what is happening right now is so much bigger than basketball. You know? what is going down in this world is our lives, you know, and this does happen to us. Don't think that just because we get paid millions upon millions of dollars a year, or if you're the women, thousands upon thousand dollars a year, like this is happening to us. It happens to us too.
Mm-hmm. And people who look like us. Yeah.
Yeah. So that to me is why I was happy to see it, and very much so like invigorated by that.
I know we were talking about qualifiers and everything. I want to say that Kyrie doesn't count because he only played like 11 games for Duke.
Fair. But again, he still went there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He wore more boots on his left foot than actual basketball shoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That is.
I don't even know which foot it was, honestly. But yeah, so.
Yeah. Hashtag. I almost said Kanye was Woo! Right. Ooh. Nope.
Not even a little bit.
Hashtag Kyrie was right.
Wow. So. I'm.
I still don't fuck with him.
Nah.
I'm still pretty sure that the world isn't flat, but yep. You know.
Cause science.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you win some, you lose some, you know, so.
I will acknowledge his efforts in this matter.
Right. Exactly.
And that's his. About as far as I'm going to go.
Right. No, but you know what, though? Here, okay. Here's a bus. I'm going to go ahead and throw you under it.
Okay. Yep.
You're over here talking about Kyrie.
Yep.
Right?
I do that.
A few months ago, you were talking about like, oh, you know what? I don't hate J.J. Redick.
Wow. That's a card that you pulled.
Yeah, I did.
That's a card that you pulled.
Right.
And I even sent that to you on the iPhone, and it was like the invisible ink joint.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I don't forget. I got a memory like an elephant.
I'm not saying it out loud. I typed it.
Before you know it, you're just going to have like a starting.
Stop okay. it. Stop it.
Let me ask you this.
Stop it.
How do you feel about Grant Hill?
I'm. Why are you doing this to me? I thought we were friends.
Okay. So Kyrie's running the
Stop
one.
Stop it. No. Get
JJ's
here.
Got the two. Grant Hill got the three. You know, you like Elton Brand?
I don't hate Carlos Boozer.
Well, that's your four. That's your four.
I'm done, man. Look, really, I can't. I don't have the emotional stability for this right now.
Well, I mean, you might as well.
Nope. Nope.
Your favorite color is blue,
nope.
Right?
No, it's not.
It is now.
Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
First of all, that's just really unfortunate. That you would turn to the dark side.
I am not turning to the dark side.
And I get it. Look, Maryland is out of the ACC. We don't have to worry about them anymore.
Oh my God.
But it's always going to, no, and I'm bringing it back to you, okay. You know, saving face or whatever. Because that's something I've heard too, ever since Maryland went to the Big Ten, is that, oh, you don't have to hate them anymore.
It's no, like, I do.
No, bitch, fuck you.
Yeah. Okay? Fuck them.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me be clear.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck Duke. Okay.
Duck Fook.
Yeah. All right. The flukest of the Dukes.
Yeah. What about Zion? You like him?
No.
Are you sure?
Yes.
He only played like 20.
Stop it. No, speaking of, you see, oh my God, Baby Rivers.
Oh, Austin.
Yeah. Out there. What was it? You got, is that Tyson Chandler?
Yep. Yes or no?
No.
Really?
No. Look at him.
I mean, you seen how he used to look?
Get it now? Together, bro. Get it together, homie.
Oh, okay. All
right. Even when Austin Rivers played for the Wizards, like
for like all eight games.
Yeah, but even still, like even when he'd come up with a big play, I would be like this. And even you gave me shit for that. Yeah, you did.
I don't know.
You did.
I can't think of. Can we think of other Duke players who played for the Wizards? And
no, I don't want to do that. Christian Laettner.
Yeah, Christian Laettner, Austin Rivers. Who
I don't
want
to do that. I don't want to play.
I don't
this
think
game.
We've had a lot of. Okay, well.
Okay.
Next week on the.
we're talking about other tings.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So, piggybacking on the historical day that was August 28th, 2020, the world also suffered a massive loss with the passing of Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And. For me, I understand what he meant for me as an actor with the work that he did. my heart aches again for the Black community.
100%.
Because we watched an actual king die.
We were told.
Right. That an actual king died. And that, and you guys talk about it. Everything I'm referencing, guys, when I say you guys talk about it, Julian has started an amazing project with three of our other friends called the Black Light Podcast, in which it's experiences from four Black men living in America, which is absolutely amazing. And I highly recommend you guys checking it out, with shout out to Sheldon, Warren, and Jason.
Why does Jason's name have to be last?
Because it's last. Okay. Oh. How key representation is.
Yeah.
And knowing now that he's no longer with us, was he represented so many amazing, so many iconic figures in Black history.
Yeah.
And it's such a massive loss.
Mm-hmm. I will definitely say this, and I haven't said this aloud yet. First of all, it hasn't hit me, nor has my pending pregnancy, but we'll talk about that in another episode. It still hasn't hit me yet, but I actually kind of like low-key lost sleep over it. And I think, I mean, obviously there's a tremendous sadness, and to be very transparent, I have not shed tears on it yet. Mm-hmm. I think that when I talk about it and think about it in a long form, as we likely will on the Black Light Podcast, which is also available on your favorite podcast platforms.
I listen to it on Spotify.
Okay. It really is a difficult and unexpected loss, and for several reasons. One, because of his ability and his tendency, we're talking about, once again, Chadwick Boseman here, but his ability and desire to tell the world these stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I may actually get a little emotional now.
Yep.
So, you know, I think about the pride of, you know, of Jackie Robinson, and, you know, I was like a huge critic of that movie for something stupid, just like the fact that they made him a first baseman and Jackie Robinson only played first base one game in his career or whatever. But then you think about the fact that he played James Brown, the fact that he played Thurgood Marshall, the fact that he played T'Challa, and the fact that you and I, you know, as many jokes that we have, we look back and sometimes we'll say to Anaha.
Yep.
You know,
all the time.
And now that's a sad thing. And it's tough. And even if you watch like his press junkets and stuff like that, and the interviews that he's been on, like, he's humble, man. Like, humble. Howard University alum, so he definitely has ties to the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area.
Yes. Thank you.
And I remember hearing a little bit about this. I don't know if you've heard it, but people were just like, are trashing him because of his weight loss.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, you know, I don't get too caught up in that. So that's not something that I just, you know, it's not clickbait. Yeah, it's not clickbait for me, but, and he wanted to, it's a surprise to everybody because obviously he just kind of wanted to go out his way.
Yep.
And it's crazy how I was like, damn, you know, Jackie Robinson died early.
Yeah.
Jackie Robinson died, I want to say, at the age of like 53. And that's early as shit.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman, he's 43 and gone.
Yep.
43 and gone.
When especially the fact that we're not very far away from being 43 years old.
Right, exactly.
And that's the part that's crazy. It's just like, this man was, it was just getting started, you know, like we had an opportunity to see him represent so much about Black culture, so many of the amazing things about Black culture, and to have him, to have these people, these icons that he represented, to have it be by him, I think, obviously now looking back on it, is so monumental and so poetically beautiful that he did represent so many characters, quote unquote characters, you know, so many people. And I remember, I think it was something that, of course, I was watching today, that he didn't even want, like, at first he didn't necessarily want to play Thurgood Marshall because he was like, I don't think I can pull that off. Mm-hmm. And finally, he mentioned that Thurgood Marshall's son and family was like, nah, man, we want you to do this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay. You know, the fact that, like, that's the kind of person that he was, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the kind of vibe, I guess, or spirit that he represented. But still, again, you know, like, hey, call Chad up, see if he wants to come over for some beers. You know what I mean? Right. Like, exactly, it's completely, you can say that within the same breath, you know, there was nothing that I saw from what limited I know, you know, again, what the hell do I know?
Right.
But when I did see him interact with fans and I did see him interact with the public, he was just like, I am eternally grateful.
Mm-hmm. Day one, just grateful.
Yeah. He's like, I understand that even where I am is because of my fans, mm-hmm. because of my support.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So the fact that we lost him yesterday, it's just, it's a lot.
A whole lot.
And because, again, I didn't have the opportunity to be down in DC yesterday, but I did, you know, I've saw a lot of people's, you know, postings and talked to a few people that are down there, and based off their experience, you know, one of my friends mentioned that, like, I asked him today, I was like, yo, so how's your soul? He goes, it's full. Mm. He's like, my soul's full. And like the vibe that we've kept in my group chat is nothing but love and like positivity and hope, you know? And then in the same breath, we talk about losing Chadwick Boseman, you know, it's a lot. It's a lot of good and it's a lot of loss,
mm-hmm.
all at once. So
right.
it's crazy.
Right. Just, you know, looking back on the body of work, and I'm obviously not familiar on everything that he's done, but can, you know, look back and be proud to say that he brought these stories to life,
mm-hmm.
you know,
in such a beautiful way.
Yeah. And you even see now, you know, since his passing, you see baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball all wearing the number 42.
But so, you know, they did that before they found out, right?
Oh, they were just going to do it anyway?
Yeah.
Oh, because I didn't fucking know that.
From what I understand, again, I could be dead ass wrong. Uh-huh. From what I understand, because of what August 28th holds in history,
mm-hmm.
made that also Jackie Robinson Day, because they didn't get Jackie Robinson Day this season because of the pandemic.
Shit.
So they made yesterday Jackie Robinson Day.
Oh, wow. That shows you how, well.
Yeah, and then he dies on Jackie Robinson Day.
Look at God.
Oy. I was talking to the same friend. I was like, yo, is this the rapture? We just don't know about it.
Oh, 100%. It's definitely the rapture, not raptors. Never the that. Raptors. Toronto's a wonderful city, though. Toronto, sorry.
But yeah, it's just like, ugh.
So.
It's a lot to process.
Absolutely. So rest in peace to him. I mean, I'm going to be thinking about it for a minute, and yeah. I want to.
It has, for me at least, the same sting as Kobe.
2020, man.
Ain't shit.
2020 just taking everybody, dude.
They're trying it.
Like, you just get your, you know, your number pulled.
Yo. Fourth quarter starts on Tuesday.
And then, you know.
Put your fours up.
Then the election's coming up. Yep. So if things go the way that we don't want them to go, it's going to just be another L.
Yep. Fourth quarter, y'all.
It's going to be another L.
It's just a lot. So saying that to say, look, listen to your souls. Listen to your hearts. Listen to your emotions. Feel what you're feeling. And know that you're not alone in feeling it.
Right.
And if you need help, guys, reach out. There's a lot of professionals that are more so available than before, because virtual therapy sessions are a big thing right now.
Yeah.
So do your research. I don't have, I'm kind of speaking on this like haphazardly because I don't have the resources to tell you, hey,
being reckless.
Yeah. Go to X, Y, and Z site, you know, because I don't know. But, I mean, I'll disclose this. Like, during this whole pandemic, I was like, I got to talk to someone.
Mm, yeah.
So, I've been seeing my therapist.
Your therapy.
Mm-hmm. Every Monday, you know. But, guys, it helps to have that outlet, you know.
1,000%.
So just don't feel like you're going through anything alone, because there's a lot of heavy stuff happening in this world, and this is what it is.
But Sarah, it's weak to see a therapist.
Okay.
Why are you so weak?
You know what? I can't even respond to that in a constructive way. That's not going to have me have you trying to edit the fuck out of this whole entire section right here, okay?
I was just kidding. I couldn't agree with Sarah more. Yes. See a therapist. There doesn't have to be anything wrong with you to see a therapist. No. You know, so just keep that in mind. And it is absolutely not weak to go see a therapist.
Just don't feel as if you have to deal with these emotions alone.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're not comfortable seeing a therapist, talk to someone. Talk to your friends, you know. A massive reason why I see a therapist is because I don't want to put this on my friends. You know, I want our friendships to be able to not always feature me crying. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, that's why it's like I want to make my relationships better because of the work I'm doing in therapy.
Yeah, absolutely. That's an excellent point. And it's a responsible thing to do as friends.
Yeah. And it's just, I as much as I would want to be there for someone, I don't have the answers, mm-hmm. you know, beyond just telling them, hey, I'm here if you want me to listen.
Mm.
I can't promise you any world-changing advice. I can't promise that you are going to feel better even after you're done talking to me. But so therefore, I feel like it's better to give it to the professionals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just because I have friends that know how to do math, 1 + 1 = 18, doesn't mean I'm like, hey, come handle my finances for me. You're good with numbers.
Right.
You know, like mm-hmm. I have professionals that know how to do that.
Right.
And which you mentioned it on the Black Light podcast. You go to a personal trainer to seek professional help
mm-hmm.
with your physical health. Same thing like going to a therapist. So that's my rant. And I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, no, it's a very important rant. And I'm glad you feel comfortable to share that with the world. Mm. I can't decide, you know, we can't decide for other people what is to be ashamed of or what not to be ashamed of. But actually going out and speaking to somebody, for whatever reason, a professional, is one of the strongest things you can do. Being vulnerable is one of the strongest things you can do. You know, vulnerability is not weakness. No. So don't think that it is.
And honestly, it was Warren's quote that still resonates in my brain when he said, it just made things better.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Point.
And that in itself, I was just like, yep. Here he goes with being all types of, you know, eloquent and saying it exactly how it's supposed to sound.
Warren's just dropping nuggets here.
Right. Meanwhile, I'm like, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it just made things better.
Yeah. So. And I was like, yeah.
So moving on as we roll on out here like a fetus, as I hope to find out.
Yes.
Sometimes
soon. Some days slide out. No, not so much like roll out.
You never know. I might give birth she might give birth to Luda. I don't know.
Okay. I hope he's taller than that.
Yeah, I hope so too.
I don't know. The genetics could swing either way, man.
We'll get a happy medium.
Yeah.
So we've had a chance to talk over the past years and in the past episodes, which you can check on the archives and mm-hmm. your favorite podcast platform.
Sure can.
Of one of our favorite artists, Logic.
Logic.
AKA Gaithersburg, Maryland's very own.
And that's not why we like him, by the way.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
Yeah, it really isn't. Yeah. But
he's a lyricist.
He released what he calls to be his last album. And I had a chance to listen to it. Now, sometimes artists, and you might have found this as well, but sometimes artists just drop albums just like, it's whatever. Like,
yeah.
It's all I got, whatever, I'm out. Drop the mic and all that shit. This album actually was a lot stronger than I thought it would. I don't know what I expected, but it definitely exceeded what I thought it might be. Lyrically, it's strong. And, you know, me as a fan of hip hop, I definitely can appreciate a strong lyrical album. But Logic's always been, you know, lyrically strong. So, but the beats weren't bad. So I enjoyed it. What are your thoughts?
I think lyrically, it's just what I appreciate so much about Logic is that he is an artist and he always wants to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And all of his albums tell a story. So he doesn't just speak on like random topics, mm-hmm. you know, like he speaks from his own heart. because I feel, well, what he has said before in the past, he speaks from what's in his own heart because he believes it to help, be able to help other people. So the fact that he's willing to get to that level of vulnerability, I respect the hell out of that. Mm-hmm. And lyrically, again, just the way that man flows is like butter.
Butter.
I just how every one of his albums have been produced has been, it's been great.
It's like genius producing, like, and production, yeah.
And the fact that we have, we're living in this world of mumble rappers and all this other, you know, Cardi B trash. Yeah, I said it. I'm back, bitches. the fact that, like, we have something out here by Logic, and that's a big reason why I started this, well, why I really appreciate his work, because how his songs turn out have such an old school vibe to it, you know, have a true, in my opinion, a true hip hop feel. And it's not just, like you said, let me just put something out for the sake of putting some material out. Like, yeah, that man puts out great songs. I'm not saying, you know, everything that he does is flawless, because there are songs that I absolutely like a lot more than others, you know, and it's like, ugh, okay, well, you know,
of course,
here we go. Here's a Logic song, fine, whatever. But it's like, nah, man, like, he puts out some great shit.
Yeah, he really does. And his performance is good too. The concert was pretty fucking good. Like,
concerts.
What's a concert?
That was the last one that I went to.
Yeah, me too. But I don't go to concerts as much as you do, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, RIP to the concerts we were supposed to go to. Man. We were supposed to go to JoJo. Yep. I was supposed to go to Incubus.
Again?
And 311.
Wow. Okay,
yep. Yes. Yes. Jay does listen to that music. I went to Whitman.
Say it right. Nope.
White man.
There it is.
Yeah. It was fun times. Fun times. So any other thoughts on Logic?
I mean, I love getting in debates about Logic with people. Oh, obviously, well, we can't get into debates with each other about it because we both are fans, you know. But I just love hearing why people don't like him, because it's usually like, oh, he just sounds like an angsty white college kid. That's usually what I get.
Yeah.
I'm just like, come on, man.
That's one of those examples of people feeling a certain way but not knowing exactly why they feel that way. I don't know. I mean, that's obviously a debate for another time.
But. Right. So, but yeah, we just wanted to, just the tip on that, just to see how it feels.
Yes.
But if you guys have an opportunity, you know, please by all means listen to his new album. You've heard a song if you've watched any of the NBA playoff commercials. Mm-hmm. His song Amen is featured in one of them.
Absolutely.
And is phenomenal. With an F. Phenomenal. But yeah, give it a, you know, listen to it and reach out to us. You can reach out to us on Instagram. At the BTW Podcast. Absolutely. You can reach out to us on Twitter at the_BTW Podcast. You can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/thebeautifulchainwreck. You can also hit us up on Gmail. Ooh. At thebtwpodcast@gmail.com.
Wow, you rocked that. I'm pretty sure you practiced on the
sure did.
On the car on the way over.
Yep. Here. Yep. I was like, let me get this shit straight.
Yeah. Now, we are also on your favorite podcasting platforms, including Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on
Anchor,
definitely on Anchor.
Yeah.
Yes. So check us out there.
Listen to us, friends.
Happy to be back.
Yeah.
Let us know how you feel. Reach out. We'll probably put out some social media stuff, just letting the people know that we're back.
We be back.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. We really appreciate y'all.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.